This is Oreski Daoud of Mayor Risk LLC, and this is a daily brief. Not all is well in Egypt these days. The takeover by the military and the adventurous journey of Marshal Abdel Fattah al-Sisi are putting Egypt on the wrong path. Although many of my good Egyptian friends will reject this statement, the country is in a state of collapse. It's true, Egypt is liked by specific segments of the international investment community, namely folks who are in the business of trading sovereign debt, and those who are in the business of buying assets, pennies on the dollar. The latter do it because the value of the Egyptian pound simply crashed, and so it's a good time to buy. If you are an American, you will remember when real estate values dropped like a rock in 2008 and afterwards. Folks with a lot of cash ended up grabbing those assets like hot croissants and got rich as a result. Well, same thing is happening in Egypt, except it's for everything, not just real estate. So here's a simple scenario. If you are a property investor looking to buy buildings, land, construction material, or really anything else, one single dollar used to be valued, say, about 6 Egyptian pounds prior to the Sisi era. After Sisi came, he adopted a policy of weakening the Egyptian money so as to accommodate foreign buyers. Your single dollar today fetches anywhere between 16 to 17 Egyptian pounds. Yes, you heard it. That the US dollar went from being the equivalent of 6 pounds to almost 17 pounds. Now, if there is turmoil in Egypt, automatically prices of real estate and everything else drop as a result of lack of demand and impoverishment. So now, not only prices are dropping in Egyptian pound terms, but as a holder of US dollars or euros, your dollar buys 180% more Egyptian money. Although I'm not a financial advisor, perhaps looking at real estate purchases in Egypt these days makes sense. Well, never mind. Now, take this concept and apply it to all industrial assets that the country has. With those prices, and thanks to a fantastic exchange rate, Egypt is bound to attract investors. But at what price? Well, because for an investor, money eventually does not stay in the country, Egypt had to tap into foreign lending and debt to pay for urgent things as part of its budget requirements. And who did it get the money from? The mighty IMF, an organization that agrees to give money only if the recipient country agrees to undergo major and often painful reform. The IMF used to use a cute expression when referring to its conditions. They called it structural adjustment program. It sounds very techie, but in short, the IMF recipe has always been the same regardless of the recipient country, and includes such things as the privatization of state assets at the lowest prices, mass layoffs of government employees, the removal of support mechanisms to low-income families by cutting subsidies, and so on and so forth. You get the point. In short, the government must withdraw from everywhere and everything and hope that some divine miracle will intervene to fix the mess. Money is in such a short supply that Egypt has been trying to think outside the box to get cash in its banks. El-Sisi and his lawmakers have had the brilliant idea of selling the Egyptian citizenship to foreigners. At what price, you might ask? About $430,000, a little less than $500,000. A new law has allowed, or is allowing actually, anyone who spends that much on buying a house, investing in a business, or simply opening a bank account to deposit that kind of money to get an Egyptian passport. Frankly, I would love to know how many people obtain the Egyptian nationality through this scheme, and my suggestion is probably not too many. So Egypt is in a messy situation. The country, which received a $12 billion check from the IMF disbursed in installments, has increased fuel prices last week, making it the fifth round of cuts to the subsidies the population used to get. The cuts are a condition for those $12 billion loans secured from the IMF. Electricity prices have also recently gone up by 15%, making the Egyptian people struggle under the weight of a severe period of austerity. And the IMF is happy about this, by the way. But what happens to the simple folks when fuel subsidies are cut? Well, in the case of Egypt, it sent prices to of consumer goods at least 15% higher, and those increases can keep on climbing. Now, with the Egyptian state without any money to spend, social programs are the first ones to feel the pain of cuts. The performance of the healthcare sector is in a dismal position, and so is the education sector. So much so that in terms of education quality, the Haaretz newspaper notes that Egypt came in next to last, ahead of Yemen, in 2018's edition of the Spectator Index on education quality. Yes, just ahead of Yemen, the last country in the index. There's not much that the military government of Sisi can do because there is no money, even though classrooms often have 80 students in them. The World Bank calculates that Egypt reduced its investment in education from 3.6% of GDP in 2016 to 2.5%. That's more than a point in 2018. And it is expected to drop further to 2.2% next year. Now, how can one build a country without education is yet another Sisi miracle. With the country's economic challenges come also the security challenges, further enhanced by the fact that the military is in power. When you take away democracy and the rule of law, opposition becomes inevitably and can eventually use violence, as we see it today in Egypt. Egypt is in most other, as in most other Arab countries, has been using the Islamist terror threat to justify the imposition of military rule. The whole country is in a military compound, and despite efforts to showcase a safe Egypt by importing Hollywood stars, taking pictures in front of the pyramids, the country is not a safe place at all. Otherwise, how does one explain British Airways canceling its flights to Cairo this week? Trust me, a company the size and scope of BA would not make such a decision without absolute certainty that there is indeed a threat. Now, outside of Cairo, the situation is even worse as you get closer to border areas, whether it is with Libya to the west, with Sudan to the south, and even more dramatic in the northeast region of northern Sinai. At the end of June, 7 police officers were killed by insurgents in Al-Arish, that's in north Sinai, with the Egyptian Interior Ministry reporting the attackers as being jihadis. The subsequent month of July was even deadlier. Militants allegedly tied to Islamic State beheaded 4 civilians in Sheikh Zuwaid, also in North Sinai, after the victims allegedly collaborated with the Egyptian military. Same time, 2 people, including a civilian, were killed in a suicide bomb attack that targeted security forces in Sheikh Zuwaid as well. The Egyptian military has also been extremely aggressive, launching bombing campaigns last week aimed at hitting insurgents' hideouts and killing dozens. But since there is no independent monitoring and tracking on the ground of what is going on there, well, the military can do what they want, say what they want, even launch punitive raids on civilians on accusation that they harbor insurgents, and no one would know it. Now, the Egyptian people are torn between endorsing the anti-jihadi crusade of al-Sisi and condemning his ruthless behavior. The crackdown has not just been on Islamists. Anyone who has a different view, different ideology, different position than those of the military is in deep trouble. Just last week, the administrators of a Facebook page supporting Egyptian ex-president Hosni Mubarak, not even the Islamist Morsi, was detained for 15 days for spreading what the CC justice system called false information. I think he was released after he apologized. On the 15th of July, Egypt's rubber-stamping parliament approved amendments to an already tough law to impose even more restrictions on NGOs or non-governmental organizations, essentially marking the death of thousands of NGOs because the restrictions are largely about drying up their funding sources. So in closing, and as we look at where Egypt is today, it's impossible not to feel sympathy for the millions of the good people of Egypt. They have produced one of the most admired civilizations ever. They have produced some of the world's best work of literature and arts. They have produced some of the world's best cinema, in fact, all in the past tense, though. But sadly, they have also produced some of the Arab world's most ruthless governments. Do you know that Egypt has never had a smooth political transition since the 1970s, when another military man, Anwar Sadat, was assassinated? That's true. Well, since then, politics has been violent and a source of a perpetual misery. So naturally, in closing, the question now is, where will Egypt be tomorrow? Well, the situation looks grim, as the country is ruled by the military, the economy is owned by the military, and no dissenting voices are allowed to speak. The country is headed towards a multi-decade period of turmoil and instability. And with that, thank you for listening. Until next time.